This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday afternoon. It's a gorgeous day. And it's a week. 1 week. Until the election. Oh, the election of all time. You know, this election grew the wrong way. We have Hitler in the White House and Nazis marching through the streets. And internment camps. And forced eyebrow removal and torture and dogs and cats living together. And it's like, oh, just shut up already. We got it. You're desperate. Believe me, there's not a single solitary person who missed that part of your plea. You're desperate. I forget what the name of the policy is. Jerem, you probably know it. You're a brilliant young man. And you know, Jeremy actually produces not one, but two award-winning shows. That's true. I mean, during the week, he's stuck with me. And then on Saturdays, he produces for Sam Newsman, the most reliable puppet in media. The guy's been reporting since Roswell. But anyway, Jerem, what is the name of that thing? There is some professor, I think, somewhere. No, not Larry Sabato. Larry Sabato, of course, simply heads up the Larry Sabato Center for the shameless promotion of Larry Sabato and should be immediately dismissed from the University of Virginia. $500,000 for him to stand around and tell me that I'm a Nazi because I support Donald Trump. Tell that to my family members who died at the hands of the actual Nazis, you absolute clown, you. What a vile person that Sabato is. Anyway, I'm sorry, I digressed. I went off, it was like, you know, I saw a squirrel, something shiny, and we're off to the races. Now, Jerem, what is that thing? There's somebody, I think it's a professor, who came up with this rule that says if you invoke Adolf Hitler or you mention the Nazis in an argument, in a debate, you've lost. And it's the something rule, and I don't remember what it is, but it's a thing. I didn't make it up. It's not the Katz rule. It's not the Jeff rule. I don't know what it is, but, well, anyway, we'll find out. But you know what I'm saying, right? There is somebody who came up with this thing that says if you invoke Adolf Hitler, you're not actually talking about Adolf Hitler, you've lost. If you invoke the Nazis and you're not actually discussing Nazis, and I don't mean those Illinois Nazis that come out for the Blue Brothers, I mean actual Nazis, then you have lost that discussion. The Democrats have lost this debate. They lost complete and total control of it a long time ago. They are now at the point of fear-mongering and absolutely outrageous fear-mongering. They have folks like the Sabato character, who, by the way, is busy blocking people. Is he allowed to block people? Like, I can block people. If you annoy me on X, I can block you. I know that. Why? Work. It's because she's absolutely abysmal, and she is afraid, perhaps, that she's going to say something that, I don't know, accidentally, inadvertently reveals who she really is. She's a Marxist. I mean, she's a hardcore Marxist, and she's a revolutionary. And you've got people who are pointing out that with all of that, she's absolutely not ready for primetime. Now, I've joked about that she's been our not ready for primetime vice president ever since she somehow, some way fell into the role of vice president. But I got news for you. All of that being said, if she wasn't ready for primetime as vice president, she sure as heck is not ready for primetime here. But they stage this coup. They push poor old Uncle Joe right off the cliff. And we've got her. Or you've got her. Or, well, they chose her. It's not like I'm voting for her. There's no danger of that. And the more that I am told by folks like Sabato that I am somehow a Nazi because I support President Trump, the more offended and disgusted I absolutely am. And I want to know how Larry Sabato is allowed to block people once again, there's a distinction. If you are over on X and you don't like something somebody's saying to you, you can block them, right? You're just a regular person. Good place to be, just a regular person. You're not a government employee. And if you are a government employee like Larry Sabato, I do believe that there's some sort of legal requirements about having social media channels available. Wasn't there something, I want to say that it was former President Trump, because everything seems to be directed at him in a negative way, but I don't think it was. I do think it was somebody else, and somebody in some position of power, some public figure like that, a government employee, blocked someone, and then they were held to account. They couldn't do it. I don't know. I know I've raised the issue, and I probably should know the answer, but I don't know the answer. Yeah. I don't. Oh, Godwin's Law. Yes, yes, yes. Godwin's Law. Thank you. I'm looking at... I am looking at the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Godwin's Law. Yes, that is exactly correct. 804 says, Jeff, it sounds like Sabato has just silenced you. Well, I don't think so. I'm here. Make no mistake about it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 804, Jeff, SCOTUS demanded that the prosecution provide his evidence in this ridiculous illegal alien voting lawsuit by 3 p.m. today. Any word? No. We're waiting to hear what's happened. Governor Youngkin and Attorney General Meares have asked for Supreme Court to step in and say, you can't force us to keep non-citizens on the voting rolls. And remember something about this. The reality is that these people who were taken off the voting rolls themselves said they were not citizens. This is not somebody from the Commonwealth going out and saying, well, I want to see this, I want to see this, I want to see... These are people themselves. They went in, they got their driver's license. Somehow, some way, they get registered to vote, and at the same time they're getting registered to vote, they're saying, no, I'm not a citizen. So they shouldn't have been registered to vote in the first place. They haven't lost anything. We haven't lost anything. The only people who are in fear that something is being lost are those who are trying everything to cook the books on the election. That's the problem. That is the problem. Now we'll see what happens. So Michael Harrison is going to be here. He's going to be here at 3:35. We're going to be talking about the Joe Rogan experience. Joe Rogan has now said, amongst other things, he is not traveling to interview Kamala Harris. Unlike Donald Trump, who was able to find Joe Rogan's studio, sit down, have a conversation, do whatever was required, Kamala Harris says, no, 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 no. You must come to me. And you can't. We are not going to do any more than an hour. And Joe Rogan said, it's not worth my trouble. Not worth my trouble. I don't want to travel to wherever you are. I don't want to go through the hassle of getting equipment to be where you are. And my show runs a couple of hours, so if you're going to do it, you got to do it. Now, the last part is the one that I side with her. I really do. It's very...
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Rare that you say to someone, you have to spend hours and hours and hours on this program, right? I don't know that anybody's ever been able to do that effectively in the past, but then I don't know that anybody's wanted to do it. I don't know that Joe Rogan really wants to spend 2 or 3 hours with Kamala Harris, but it's a great point of delineation between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump, isn't it? Donald Trump's like, yeah, I got the morning cleared, whatever you want to do. I'm here. I'm yours. Let's hang. Kamala Harris says, I got other stuff to do. Now, I don't believe her. when she says she has other stuff to do. But I know her staff is in fear. Oh, they're terrified that she might accidentally, inadvertently say something that, you know, she hadn't rehearsed and sort of shaped in front of a group, a focus group situation. So Michael Harrison will be here at 3:35. Our buddy Craig Peterson is going to be here. I got some terrible news for him. I really do. He's going to be shocked. I had this big event in Chicago last week, as you know. I was a guest speaker, featured speaker, which was wonderful, but it was also, in addition to the speaking, there was a workshopping component that was really valuable to me. And, well, I'm told I have to go to the dark side, but I got to get some Apple stuff. And we'll also talk about, are you ready for this? The Christian Chamber of Commerce. I ran into a wonderful couple out at Liberty University. I was there for Dave Bratt's event, the CEO Summit, a couple of weeks back, and they head up the Christian Chamber of Commerce out in Virginia Beach. They're going to talk to us about it, and who knows? We'll get one here in Central Virginia. I think it sounds like a marvelous organization. I really do. It is 3:16, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.